Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of that city, and it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar, the kingdoms fall. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among all the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, John asked me to bring a word to you today. I won't call it a sermon, and I certainly won't call it preaching, because it's neither of those things. It's more just a word of encouragement from this really psalm that's very well known. We live in a connected world where news is immediate and constant. I don't know about you all. I've got a smartphone, and I have news apps on my smartphone so that when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I can check the New York Times, and I can look at the BBC, and I can see what's happened. And then I spend some time every morning usually reading the news. So if you think about the news headlines in the recent months, there's been some ones I'll remind you of. There was a large wildfire in Alberta, Canada, the largest ever. A town of 80,000 people had to be evacuated due to this large fire. In Brussels, Belgium, there was an airport bomb that killed some people. There was another bomb nearby at the railway station, so numerous people were killed and hurt and in terror over what had happened. Throughout Europe in the past year, there have been refugees coming from the Middle East, from Syria, people that have been persecuted and lost everything they have that are looking for homes, and they're looking for stability. Right here, closer to home, you'll recall back in December, right after Christmas, there was a record-breaking flood. The Berbice River and the Merrimack, too, were flooded over there in Union. It was the biggest flood since 1982. Well, many of you remember that flood as well. So I admit that every morning when I check my news, that is really not the best way to start my day. But selfishly, here's what I think when I read some of these stories. I say to myself, I am so thankful that that didn't happen to my family. And that's a selfish view, but it's what I think, because I'm very thankful that I was not involved in any of those major news events. And each generation thinks that their own generation is experiencing more trouble maybe than previous generations did. Today's reading from Psalm 46 reminds us, though, that trouble has always been present in the world. Verse 2 and 3 state this, I'll remind you, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and the mountains quake. So this verse hints at natural disasters, which have always happened in this world and are very terrifying if you've ever been involved in one. I have not. A few months ago, I read about a news in England of a cliff slide. If you've ever been over there, there's really dramatic cliffs right near the sea, and they've got beautiful coastal paths for hiking and walking. But sometimes these cliffs can become unstable, and recently some hikers perished, actually, because the section of the cliff that they were on literally fell into the sea. And these natural disasters will always strike fear into your heart if you are involved in them or you see them or think about them. Verse 6 in Psalm 46 goes on to state that nations are in an uproar and kingdoms fall. If you remember Old Testament history, you know that the nations back then were always fighting. The people of Israel were very familiar with nations falling, and they, if you remember, they were actually taken from their homeland and sent to Babylon for several hundred years as captives in that world. So whether it was due to war or famine or political unrest, the readers of Psalm 46 would have been really familiar with the idea that nations do fall and kingdoms are in unrest. Well, today we have the same thing. I have a collection of National Geographic magazines that goes back to the 1930s. And sometimes I like to get them out and read them. It's very interesting to see how the world has changed since 1930. So remember, that's the period between the World War I and World War II. Occasionally, the National Geographics would have an insert that was a map, a world map, or maybe a regional map that was there to interest its readers. And indeed, they are interesting maps. If you look at maps from the 1930s, there are many nations and countries that are on that map that no longer exist, and in fact, whose names most people today would not even recall. They are just gone, because after World War II, the maps in Europe were completely redrawn. Again, since the 1970s, many of the world maps have been redrawn. During the 1970s was the Soviet Union, and after the fall of the Soviet Union, there were many smaller countries that either came into existence or came back into existence. So the maps are always being redrawn during our history. Now, so far my comments might lead you to think that life is all trouble. We're always at war. There's always cliff slides and things like that. We know this isn't true. We know that in our lives we have many periods of great joy and happiness. We have the love of family. We have the love of our children and grandchildren. If you're a grandparent, you know what a joy that is. There are times of abundance where we have plenty to eat, and we have the joy of meaningful work, and we have other things in our lives that bring us great satisfaction. But one thing that's constant is that can change. Trouble can come upon us in a moment's notice. What does Psalm 26 tell us about trouble? Are we just to suffer in this world and hope for a better afterlife, thinking that things will be better then? Are we to try to avoid suffering by any means possible? Yet despite our best efforts, suffering will come. Well, Psalms 46 give us several clues as to the Lord's role in times of trouble. I love what it says in verse 1. It says, not only is God our refuge and our strength, but it says he's very present. Think about that. He's very present in our times of trouble. In other words, as far as the writer of Psalm 46 was concerned, he knew he didn't have to reach further than his fingertips to feel the presence of God. But as Christians now in the New Testament age, we believe that the God who loves us, who sent his son to die for us, and who rose from the dead, lives in us if we believe in him. He is alive in us. So we know that we have God more present to us than we could even think about, because he lives in us. He is very present in our times of trouble. As the message says. Have you ever met or known two people maybe who were suffering similar circumstances, a tragedy, a sickness, maybe some kind of loss? And maybe these two people had similar upbringings, similar backgrounds, or similar resources available to them, but they handled things completely differently. Maybe one person handled trouble in a way that they maintained their faith in Christ. They were hopeful for the future. They were forgiving to people who had wronged them, or maybe they were able to accept peace in their circumstances despite the trouble that was very real in their lives. But the other person who might be faced with similar circumstances could handle it in a completely different way, maybe harboring bitterness or resentment, maybe seeking revenge or maintaining a hatred towards someone who had wronged them, or just bearing a sense of crushing defeat, just defeated in life because of their trouble. And troubles can seem like they will defeat you, because troubles are real and they grieve us when they come. But why is it that some people will handle trouble differently than other people? Sometimes I think that trouble can be kind of like the sun. This isn't a biblical view of it, but it's just a way that we can understand it. When the sun comes out, sometimes when things are in the sun, they get hard like clay. If you think about your gardens out there right now with this sun today, they're going to be packed pretty hard by this afternoon, because the sun is beating down on the earth. But some things that are left out in the sun can soften like wax. And so when trouble comes, different things handle trouble differently. And that's true in our lives, that some people can respond to the heat of the sun because they have the presence of God in their lives. And other people can be hardened by their troubles and hardened like clay in the baking sun. Second, we have to realize that God is resident among his people. He's resident here today. Verse 4 says, there is a river, the streams whereof, that make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High lives. Now, the term the city of God, as the psalmist used it, referred to Mount Zion. Mount Zion was the holiest of holy places. That's where the temple was going to be built. And in the Old Testament view, the Israelites believed that God literally resided in the temple. That was where his home was. But as New Testament Christians now, we know that God's temple is his church. And so we know from this that God resides in the church, that his spirit is like a river that makes glad the church. So verse 4 gives us further detail. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Today, when we think about rivers, we might think of them as recreation spots or where we go fishing or boating, because our lives are pretty much, you know, bought with things that we buy at the store or based on technology. Most people now don't rely on the river for things. But back then, in the ancient times in the Middle East, literally rivers were givers of life. They provided transportation. They provided trade routes. They gave drinking water, irrigation water, and the land around the river plains was fertile soil for raising food, raising crops. So if you had a city that had a river flowing into it, by definition, that was a joyous thing. That brought a lot of joy and goodness to the city that had a river by it. So what do you do in trouble about this river? Whatever else you do, you realize that the river of the Spirit of God is flowing in your life, and it must be preserved. For in this area, through the spiritual operation of the Spirit of God in your life, is how you are going to be made strong so that you can cope with the troubles that will come your way. We see that God is our refuge. We see that God is a resident in our lives and in our lives of our community. And this isn't just in our own personal faith. It is in our personal faith, but it's more than that. When we hear a prayer request, what do we hear prayer for? We hear prayer for the people that are going through things, but we hear prayer for other ones to come around them and surround them with love. And that's part of the peace of the river of God. The Spirit of God works in community, in his church, and in our communities as friends and neighbors and family to provide peace to people that are in trouble. I would say that none of this makes any sense if you don't start with the premise or the belief that you believe in God. If you believe in God and you know that he is your refuge, then all of this can make sense. But if you don't believe in that, then this is just really actually just sounds like another thing to be hopeful about that doesn't have a basis. I see a remarkable thing in Psalm 46:10, which is a favorite verse with a lot of people right now. Be still and know that I am God. Now, sometimes I see that on a postcard or a calendar, maybe a greeting card, where someone's out by a lake and they're having a nice, quiet me day and they're relaxing and the Bible verse says, be still and know that I am God. So we live in a me generation, right, where everyone wants to experience their faith individually and they're thinking about their own things. But actually, in this context, that's not what the verse means. This is the context of trouble. There's trouble going on. Nations are falling and people are sick and things are in an uproar. And God is saying, be still, relax, enough, know that I am God. Now, relax also has a current connotation, meaning you don't have any responsibility. You can just relax. But that's not what this means. It means we can be secure. We can be confident. We can relax knowing that God is present. He is God. He will be exalted. And he is the Lord. We can rely on his strength in our times of trouble. So think about that verse. Be still and know that I am God. Relax. Enough. You can count on God. That's what this is saying in the times of trouble. When we say the word be still and know that God is in control, one thing that I am sure of is that his victory is already assured. It tells us that in the Bible. He will be exalted among the nations and among the earth. So when we have trouble coming our way, we can know that in the end, God will be exalted. I pray for each of you that when trouble comes or when joy comes, that the small voice of the Holy Spirit will fill you with the assurance of this river of peace of the Holy Spirit and that God's strength will lift you up. Amen.